強いね。
The podcast.
Jane Adventures.
Everything seems so right, my baby girl, my Sarah.
Jane Adventures.
You are all I want to know. You hold my heart, so don't let go.
Of the share/listen/subscribe/download button. Thanks.
Potter Who Cast.
I'm not pleased to have to say this, but much like Michael Caine, someone has been locked in an attic, and it's up to us to talk about it to let them free. You may say that Michael Caine was not locked in an attic. He says he wasn't. I don't believe him. I think that's fake news. I think it's a false flag. Michael Caine, you were locked in an attic. Don't lie. We all know you like cars too, but let's be real, you were locked in an attic, and it was, much like the Balloon Boy, a nation's shame. But now we know the truth. Hello, and welcome to Sarah Jenkins Ventures, Series 3, Episode 2, The Mad Woman.
The Mad Woman in the Attic.
In the Attic. Boom, boom, boom. How are you? How are you feeling?
I want you to go first.
I want you to go first. Well, I'll have to go through everything first before I can
okay.
Give my opinion, because I am a robot. So how do you feel about the 22nd and 23rd of October 2009? What's your vibe? My vibe is that that's when these episodes were broadcast. It was written by Joseph Lidster, who did, like, you know, we spoke about Joseph Lidster before. And written by Alice Trevon, who we spoke about before as well. The gist of this one: in the year 2059, Rani, now old and known as the Mad Woman of Bannerman Road, tells a child from across the road about how she felt ridiculed by her friends one day and went to investigate mysterious circumstances that she had been alerted to by her friend Sam back in the theme park in her hometown. It turns out to be a sort of trap for Rani. With an old man named Harry, who is, side note, Mr. Elizabeth Sladen in real life. And side note.
What?
Yeah, he's also, you know, the scene in Deep Breath when Capaldi's like, "Who frowned me this face?" And it's like an old man, like an old tramp. That's also him. Anyway, Harry's waiting for her there, and he traps her in this room with a red alien named Eve, who is mind controlled. Some homeless boys, some theme park rides. Basically, a face in the mirror who is revealed to be the AI from Eve's ship, called Ship. And I must say here now, every time they said the word ship, I thought they were saying shit for like 2 seconds, and I found it very amusing. Ship shows Randy, Luke, and Sarah Jane basically a vision of their past and their futures. And in Sarah Jane's future, she sees the TARDIS arrive, and a certain spiky-haired gentleman open the door. I'm sure that won't happen in an episode. The AI, again known as Ship, eventually explains to Sarah Jane that Eve is a young alien. She's basically like escaped to Earth from a time of hardship, and she can't control her powers. Then they kind of eventually learn that the Ship needed Rani to get Sarah Jane to her because she knows Sarah Jane's experience with black holes, which are powers the Ship. And now if you think back, there's a certain character minding all the black holes. So Sarah calls in K-9, who has been guarding a black hole because Bob Baker wouldn't let them use K-9. Anyway, K-9 comes in from guarding the black hole, and the black hole is absorbed into the ship to power it again. Harry and Sam, the old man, the friend, decide to travel with Eve But Ship, see, Ship remembers that Rani said she wishes that Sarah, Clyde, and Luke will leave her alone. So Ship grants her wish and erases the gang from existence, leading Rani to becoming a mad old woman in an attic. The kid that Rani's been talking to the whole time turns out to be Sam and Eve's son, who uses time travel to, or something, I don't fucking know what he does, to reverse the mistake made by Ship. And Rani regains her friends, and also K-9, who was not the same K-9 we will see later on. He's just a new guy. And then later in life, she actually moves into Bannerman Road, but she's not mad. She lives in the attic, but it's like a normal attic now. And she tells her son about visiting Maria in Washington with Luke. Can I just ask,
hearing you describe it just kind of nailed how the whole Mad Woman stuff is absolutely thrown in and has nothing to do with anything. It is so thrown in. It's like they spend the whole episode like, I'm a mad woman. And then you get to the end of the first episode and you're going to imagine that, oh, this is how it relates to her being a bad woman. No, not yet. And then at the end, it's like, oh, remember that one thing you mentioned randomly? Yeah, that's why you're the mad woman. Mm-hmm. And then she's like, no. Yeah, he's like, I'm sorry, mad woman now.
The thing about the mad
woman. And then they immediately undo it. They immediately undo it the next scene. It's like, why? It does feel like two different episodes cobbled together.
The thing about that is, why does Ship have the power to alter reality to such an incredible degree? And why is that like a thing that happens, and how does a kid travel back in time at the end? The kid, by the way, who looks exactly like Luke, to the point where I was like, is this just like a weird like recast for this week of Luke?
That was a good point. It does look exactly like Luke.
Yeah, he's famous now, Craig Sulkin. He's doing something. I don't know what it is, but he's doing something. He's doing something. I understand like the impetus for this episode. Like, I get what Rani's doing. It's very Piglet's Big Movie. It's like the exact same plot as Piglet's Big Movie, where like Piglet gets so Winnie the Pooh and Tigger and Kanga and Roo and the Rabbit, all like ignoring what he's doing. So he sets off on his own adventure, obviously, and they all were like, oh no, we've let Piglet down. So I understand like the premise. I understand the impetus, because like when you're a kid, when you're a teenager like that, you're like really, you know, one bad day kind of sets you off and you get really sulky and like you get really dramatic, you know, and obviously to be ridiculed the way she proceeds to be, she's been ridiculed. Obviously I understand how that make it be like, you know, fine, I'm fucking off. I don't want to talk to you anymore. I get all that. As you said, I do not understand at like any point why the mad woman in the attic is a thing in this episode, because
my theory is that was another episode idea and they just like put the two of them together like in the hopes it would work. I mean, I'm reading here something amazing that just kind of changes my image of this entire episode. In early drafts of the plot, Eve had been kidnapped by Mark Grantham from Warriors of the Kodak.
I remember that. That's mentioned that this would have been Grantham's grand return to Doctor Who, and it's very sad that we didn't get Grantham come back. We get a glimpse of Odd Bob briefly, but we don't get any Grantham action.
We get a glimpse of freaking Tom Baker and
John Pertwee. John Pertwee taking a break from his cringe compilations to make an appearance. And also, as I said, we get a glimpse of David Tennant showing up in a future episode. It is really just like so superfluous, everything, to have this mad woman stuff. Like, I understand that like I think it's much easier to have it be like, you know, about friendship, because, you know, Sam, her friend, has a point that, like, you know, she's left Sam behind, not by, like, you know, any vindictive thing. She's all, like, he has left, and she's constantly telling him about all these adventures she's having while he's, you know, stuck in this home with no one to talk to. I understand how that would, like, drive you crazy, because, like, you know, you feel left out, but like, on, like, all fronts. You can even just lead into that idea. And this idea of friendship, because obviously the Eve stuff is all friendship as well. You don't really need to have like this whole crazy old woman plot that like gets resolved very quickly and barely even features as a framing device either. because like most of the episode is just the episode. It's not like the framing device. Do you think Rani bought the house as well? Like, surely she bought the house if she's...
Yeah.
But who will be living there if Sarah Jane didn't exist anymore as well?
I don't know. It makes no sense. It's so uninteresting that they immediately wipe it away. I mean, listen, let me read you this. So originally, the writer of this episode, Joseph Lister, saw this as an opportunity to reflect on the consequences of Sarah Jane's actions. So the narrative was tied to the events of whatever happened to Sarah Jane, with the meteor, which had been deflected during climactic moments, now revealed to have caused an alien girl to crash land on Earth. She was captured by slimy businessman Mark Grantham from Wars of the Kudlak, rest in peace, who now ran the Galaxy World Park with his assistant, Mrs. Brown. Randy traveled to Galaxy World with two classmates, Steve Wallace and Jacob, who had respectively appeared in Day of the Clown and Mark of the Berserker. Grantham wanted to take advantage of the girl's prophetic abilities, but it would transpire that Mrs. Brown was actually her mother and was trying to nurture her destructive powers for the benefit of an alien army. I bet you're thinking, wow, I'm glad they quickly ignored all that and went into the plot we have today. But wait, there's more. As work continued, Grantham, Mrs. Brown, and Steve were all dropped from the storyline. It would now be explained that Jacob had been relocated to a children's home in Dainmoof following the events of the Mark of the Berserker, and he summoned Ronnie to help with the investigate the string of disappearances. At the start of December, a new villain was added in the form of a man who claimed to be the Master, the Doctor's Time Lord Archnemesis. He was apparently planning to use Eve as the first soldier in a time-sensitive army, while punishing the Doctor by torturing Sarah Jane and her friends. However, it would ultimately be revealed that this was not the Master, but rather a man whom Eve had brainwashed into believing himself to be the Master in order to lure the Bannerman Road gang to the theme park, now known as Future World.
What?
Hold on, it's not over. So, eventually they removed this Master from the plot line, and then what happened is that it was turned out that David Tennant will record his episode much earlier. So this episode had to be brought forward. And so they had to drop Jacob, introduce the character of Sam. And then the writer was also asked to minimize Luke's participation in the story since the actor would be heavily involved with his GCSE exams during production. But yeah, that's it. It kind of explains why everything was this way.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think the stuff that is like just in the episode, I think is fine. The whole thing with Harry, I like that it makes you think that it's one of those typical things that Doctor Who does a lot, which is like, it's like a very soft-spoken old man to like be brainwashed by an alien. Like you have like Magpie, you have the guy in Day of the Moon, where he's like, I'm just a kindly old caretaker of a little boarding house. Let's go upstairs. No, I wrote Get Out in blood on the wall. Oh, isn't that a shame? Like, you get all these characters throughout like Doctor Who of these old men who are just like, and then like,
but in this case,
in this case, he's actually in the entire time. He's just Harry in his little coat, and he's saying, I think Eve needs to be inside because these actors who are playing the homeless people, they're very strange when they're on the rides. It looks kind of
embarrassing. How many times do you think they had to record those poor people in those rides?
The one on the train who's like just completely like fucking leaning against the window was probably like sorted, and the one in the merry-go-round just has to sit down. The guy in like the big revolving thing, I'm sure was probably like close to throwing up at the end if they had to do multiple takes.
Absolutely. No, just one more. Like, please, God, no. End my suffering.
The
problem is that, like, because this is just everyone is actually nice and there was no villain at the end of the story, it kind of makes the whole, like, plot with the mad woman and Sarah and Ronnie's wish feel weird. Like, if she had the power to not grant the wish, why did she grant the wish? It's such a weird thing. It's so weird. Like, chaos. Why did Ship do it if
chaos, Ship is Ship not evil? Chaos. Ship loves chaos. Ship loves stirring the pot.
I just wanted to prank you.
Yeah, Ship's like, it's such a punked, and you're pranked, Ranny. And Ashton Kutcher didn't, no, because Ashton Kutcher isn't the host punked anymore. Whoever hosted punked last time does it. Yeah, I don't know. It's there's a lot of weird stuff. Like Maria is in Washington doing false flags against the FBI to hide aliens.
Oh my god, I didn't even think about that.
They're just like, oh yeah, by the way, Maria's in Washington hiding aliens from the government, and they move fast like straight away. It's like, what the fuck's going on there? Like, that's the big finished box that you need, is like Maria in Washington with Alan, and like they're trying to save aliens from, like, because they even go like, he's the new Sarah Jane, and it's like calm down, guys. The other thing as well is the drawing that Clyde does of Sarah Jane, where it's like quite clearly like photoshopped, like picture of Liz Sladen with like a pencil sketch filter put over it, because like that's clearly not like an actual drawing. I don't know. There's a big thing we're not talking about, which I think we should talk about.
Go.
Is that K-9 is back?
K-9 is back. K-9.
I'm back. It is not over because I am back. He comes back at the end. They take a photograph and they say cheese, and he says fermented curds. Because he's a little joker. He's a little prankster. As I said before, it's very interesting that K-9, that this mark of K-9 is allowed back in Doctor Who the week another mark of K-9 is leading his own show, set in the same part of England, even though it's been Australia. Yeah, it's crazy. Rani like Zac Efron.
I get it.
Yeah, you think Rani's gonna go see the White Claw? Oh, not the White Claw, the Iron Claw. The White Claw is the drink. Is she gonna see that new movie, Iron Claw, with Jeremy Allen White, future best supporting actor nominee, Jeremy Allen White for the Iron Claw? I think she will. I think she. Do you think Randy went to see the Beach Bum? I think Randy went to see the greatest beer run ever, whatever it's fucking called. I think she did. Now, did Randy recognize the? Okay, so 2059. So this takes place in what, like 2000, and because Doctor Who time is so like,
yeah,
fucked up. That like it's simultaneously like a year ahead of transmission, but also like maybe 3 years ahead of transmission, but also like behind transmission. So 2059, Eve and Sam's kid shows up, and he's like what, like 14?
Mm-hmm.
So they're like, you know, the way like Al Pacino is like 70, he has like a 5-year-old kid. Is it like one of those situations where like they're this like kids like really, really late in life? Because like Granny's like 80 something in the attic. It's very strange.
Go on.
No, that's my whole point.
That makes total sense to me. That makes total sense to me.
Yeah.
She just became old. Mm-hmm. That was part of her wish.
She's old and she's in the attic and she's mad. I don't know. I just find like the latter half of this to be really weak and meandering and kind of nothing compared to like the first half. I do like that, like the resolution is that they all go off in a spaceship together and they have fun in space. But otherwise it's just like, you know, it just feels like, as you pointed out, it feels like the casualty of rescheduling and like production problems. I wouldn't say problems, but like production, you know, jiggery pokery kind of stuff. But yeah, I don't really have anything else to say really, beyond question again why ship can change reality. Is that's a very powerful, very, very powerful AI.
The ship can change reality because K-9 can change reality, and K-9 granted those gifts to the ship. That's my answer.
Ship. K-9.
Yep. K-9.
I ship K-9 with next week.
Hello, Pod Tour Who Cast Robot here. David made another mistake and thought it was K-9 regeneration next week, but it isn't. It's Sarah Jane again, then it's K-9, so I am going to say it this time and then we'll see about the rest of the audio. Okay, then here we go. Next time.
put you back on for the doctor to give you away.
I need somebody reliable.
And I'm so very, very glad it's you. Besides, where would I send the invite? Metabilis 3?
Seems like yesterday she was in pigtails. Oh, Sarah looks so happy. It's just like a fairy tale.
Pull yourself together.
K9, scan. All normal, Master Clyde.
Yes, so far.
You brought the dog. Well, what did you think was under there? The wedding cake? There's something wrong about this.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm the Superintendent Registrar. We are here today to witness the marriage of Sarah Jane Smith and Peter Anthony Dalton. In each other's company, they have found happiness, fulfillment, and love. And they wish to affirm their relationship with this marriage. Now, I have to ask this question. If any person can show just cause or impediment why they may not be joined together, let them speak now and forever hold their peace.
Stop this wedding now! What? What's going on?
Who the hell is that? I don't believe it.
Who's he?
Master!
I said stop this wedding.
A wedding involving someone very special. That's right, Nigel Havers. And also David Tennant. I think that's about it. Unless you have anything else you want to add about Chip or Harry or Sam or K-9 or Eve or Zac Efron or Maria in Washington or I don't know.
Come on, you can think of someone.
Channing Tatum.
No. Great. That's yeah. Great. 2009? Yeah, 2009.
Yeah.
All right. See ya.
Bye.